Hello, everyone. My name is DP Lail, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from Vancouver on unceded territory of the Unkmekum-speaking Musqueam people. What is All Access Pass? We talk about greater inclusion, equal treatment, and more accessibility spaces for people with various of disabilities on campus and beyond. In the past seasons, the Accessibility Collective has talked about use of cannabis for medical purposes for autism spectrum to raise awareness, how entertainment industries view actors and actresses with disabilities, sports and disabilities, and so much more. When talking about these things, we hope to raise greater awareness for those with disabilities, as well as on an engaging media platform where people with disabilities can enjoy and feel like they are being heard. Now it's time for a song break, and this song is called Empty Hands by Christina Sheldon.
You make me sad. I'm sick of all the times that went bad. I know we have differences, and I know we don't always click, but I know when the time comes, you'll think you're being strong, but when I'm gone,
Welcome back to All Access Pass. The song you just heard before the break was called Empty Hands by Christina Sheldon. Just a bit about the artist. She's actually a local Vancouverite, and she has a spinal cord injury. So that's Christina Sheldon. So now we're going to be introducing the collective members. And we're going to start with Allison.
Hi, you guys. My name is Allison. I am a student at Athabasca University. I'm getting my master's in integrated studies, so whatever I want to take. And hopefully my thesis, my end project, will be disability and education. I have a learning disability, which I think is developmental dyspraxia, and I'm a community member at CITR.
Oh, that was really great. Thanks, Allison. Hi, I'm Sarah. It's nice to be here with all you guys again, and I'm happy to be back from last year. Mm-hmm. And I am a second-year graduate student just working in immunology, and I'm really excited to help people share their stories. So, yeah.
Great. Hello, everybody. My name is Lydia. I'm a third-year UBC undergraduate here. I am working in English right now. This is my first year with CITR, and I'm really excited to get out here and help share stories from the community and listen to all of the great guests that we have coming up.
My name is Nicole, and I am on the autism spectrum. I advocate for the adult autistic community to be heard and join the Accessibility Collective this year to help promote acceptance of autistics. I am on Persons with Disabilities or Disability Assistance, and I'm currently in the process of getting customized employment through a WorkBC center.
That was great. Hi, my name is Kevin Chia. I'm an alumni of UBC. I received a Bachelor of Arts as well as a Juris Doctor from UBC while attending undergrad and law school. I was called to the bar in September of 2016. I was born hard of hearing, and I hope to learn more about access and disability through my involvement with this program on CITR. I've always wanted to be involved with the radio station while going to university, so this is my first chance, and I'm looking forward to a great year with you guys.
It's wonderful to hear from all of you, and I'm super excited to work with all of you. Again, my name is DP Lail. I am this year's Accessibility Collective Coordinator and have been a community member at CITR for about 6.5 years. I have a medical condition, not a disease, where it mainly affects my joints and bones. And this reason, I use an electric wheelchair to access the community. My experience as a wheelchair user prompted me to confront issues regarding accessibility and talk about disability as a whole, where a mainstream media may not always cover much stories or information as we, the Access Collective, would like to see. So that is the Access Collective here at CITR. And now, Allison, you have a song for us.
The song is from Florence and the Machine. The lead singer, Florence, from Florence and the Machine, also has developmental dyspraxia, just like me.
Oh, wow.
So.
Working hard not to say. There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
You know what's better than reading a great magazine? Reading a great magazine that also helps you fight poverty. Megaphone Magazine is sold by homeless and low-income vendors on the streets of Vancouver and Victoria. Vendors buy magazines for 75 cents and sell them for $2. It's flexible, low-barrier work for people who may not have access to traditional jobs. Download the Megaphone app to find vendors and buy the magazine, even when you don't have change.
Welcome back to All Access Pass. The song you just heard was Shake It Out by Florence and the Machine. Thanks, Allison, for the music. Now we will shift our focus on what happened last month in October, which was the Autism Awareness Month. And Lydia, I think you will start us off with
that. Yes. Autism Awareness Month is observed in Canada, it does not really have a very accessible history. Autism Ontario, in theory, has been celebrating Autism Awareness Month in October for 40 years, but Autism Edmonton says that this has been going on since 1993. This puts us at about a 15-year discrepancy, but discourse in Ottawa seems to lend some support to Autism Edmonton's 1993 beginnings, with the first documented use of the word autism on the parliamentary floor occurring in 1994, when an MP from Newfoundland commended the Autism Society of Newfoundland and Labrador on celebrating Autism Awareness Month in October. More recently, in 2018, an autistic advocate in Nova Scotia stated, last year, 2017, after several years of celebrating Autism Awareness Month, Autism Nova Scotia began observing Autism Awareness and Acceptance Key Change Month to include a key initiative of the autistic community from people who are actually autistic. So where we stand now, in 2018, Autism Canada observes National Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month in October.
And now here's Nicole with her thoughts on the awareness.
These are my thoughts on Autism Awareness Month. There is a lack of clear origin as to how October's Autism Awareness Month began. It's abundantly clear that there is a lack of awareness, or should I say acceptance, raised in BC about autism through events involving the autistic community. Most of us autistics find traditional, quote-unquote, awareness campaigns harmful because their effect propagates fear and stigma against us. It also encourages non-autistics to think about ways to make us more normal or appear as non-autistic. How Canadians observe Autism Awareness Month varies demographically. Looking back in October 2018, the only event related to Autism Awareness Month by any autism-specific organization in BC was the Autism Speaks Canada Walk at the Pacific Autism Family Network, which took place on September 30th, 2018. The only other event worth noting that took place in the month of October 2018 was the first Autism in the Workplace Conference, which was also held at the Pacific Autism Family Network in Richmond. The event description says, quote, sessions will be led by both professionals who have experience supporting individuals with ASD and organizations that have successfully implemented strategies to make their workforce more neurodiverse, end quote. It's not that society needs facts about autism, but it definitely needs enlightenment in regards to acceptance. The disabled community's motto is, quote, nothing about us without us, end quote. This ideal is of greater significance to those on the spectrum for several reasons. The diversity of the spectrum. The difference in thinking. While non-autistics use metaphorical language and cultural references, autistics are direct and logical. Since it affects us, it's imperative that we have input. Autism awareness should not be about spreading facts about autism, but should be promoting acceptance of autistics as they are. Like Autism Canada and Autism Nova Scotia's promotion of, quote, Autism Awareness and Acceptance Month, end quote, which likely is due to the input of an ASD person. Ask an autistic what they would want out of awareness, and they would tell you that what they need is acceptance through these quote-unquote awareness campaigns. What differentiates autistics from the rest of the disabled community is we identify first and foremost as autistics. I am not Nicole, a female with autism. I am autistic, first and foremost. The services provided are for parents who want their children to, quote-unquote, behave like every other child and do not accept them as they are, not as they want them to be. This strips the autistic of their core identity and deprives them of the basic human right of self-determination. In this politically correct world, diversity is wholly accepted, except for the autistic. I ask, why is this?
And cool. Now we have Sarah and Kevin with a special guest who is live with us in studio. So take it away, guys.
Okay. Yeah. Hi. We'd like to welcome Tara here. Hi, Tara. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Kevin?
Doing great.
So, Tara, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
I was born in Montreal, and I came to Vancouver in March of 1992.
Okay, and how have you been finding Vancouver? How do you like living here?
I'm going to pass on that question.
Yeah, fair enough, yeah. Well, Tara, what do you do most of your days? What do you spend time doing?
I work 8 hours a week. And I also am involved with a variety of organizations. So I go to the Canadian Authors Association. I'm currently knitting a scarf for myself. I do a lot of reading.
It sounds like some of the activities that you're involved in have to do with living with autism. Is that like how have you found your involvement in these activities to help? Or?
None of my activities have anything to do with autism. Those are something I've been interested in since birth.
Apologies.
I have been reading since the age of 2. I've read over 5,000 books.
That's phenomenal. Wow. So what is your favorite book so far?
Well, as a child, one of my favorite books was Hardy by Johanna Spyri, which was my first novel I ever read. I'm currently reading the Mrs. Murphy Detective Series by Rita Mae Brown and her cat, Sneaky Pie Brown. So the book I'm currently reading is called The Perfect Murder. And I also finished another book before that called Heroic Catholic Chaplains, which was actually a very, very good historical novel.
Okay, that sounds amazing. And it sounds like you read a lot and also that you write a lot and you do a lot of plays.
I'm in the middle of still writing a play since 1990 called Who Killed Snoopy?
Okay.
Tell us more about that.
Oh, well, back in Montreal, there was a drama skit, and my classmates did a thing of Who Killed Snoopy? And I got the idea to write a play about the murder of Snoopy, And I took it further to the fact that that Snoopy gets killed by the Red Baron. And I put my father as the murderer and my uncle as his twin brother. Long story. And I'm still in the middle of working on the scenes. But it's a comedy, basically, based on the murder of Snoopy.
That sounds like a really lovely play. I'd love to watch it if and when you finally stage it, one of these years.
Yeah, I have to get permission from the author.
Of course.
So tell us a little bit about your experience with autism and how it affects you day to day.
It will affect the way I interact with people in terms of my comments. So, when it comes to, like, different sounds and scents, it can be really challenging, especially when a lot of people talk in front of, like, around me when I'm working at work. It gets challenging.
Could you explain a bit more about how it challenges you? Is it just that you find it difficult to focus?
Like, when you have, like, six people talking around you and you're focusing on your work,
mm-hmm.
it's an issue.
Yeah, I believe you. But, okay, so you've had some hardships associated with having autism. Has it helped you in any way that you know of?
I don't know yet.
Okay, well, someday. Yeah, that's fair.
What about, can you tell us a bit about your job? You said that you work. Can you tell us a bit about that? Where do you work?
I work at CLBC 8 hours a week.
Okay. And what do you do there?
Apparently, I'm supposed to be an office assistant.
Mm-hmm. Allegedly.
I don't know my job description. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's great. So do you feel like there's a lot of services to help you with your hobbies and your playwriting? And do you feel like there's a lot of services to support you?
There's nothing out there.
Okay, tell us more.
I can't get supported by PSI funding because of the DSM-5. But the psychologist who tested me said I qualify. I have enough issues to get support, so I'm trying to get that, like, appealed through Including BC. So I pay out of my own pocket for all my things, basically. So my Embroidery Guild comes right straight out of my own pocket. I've been part of that since 2006. And all my needlework supplies, I pay out of my own pocket for everything, mm-hmm. So
Inclusion BC has not been able to help you that much.
Well, we're in the middle of appealing it, so.
Okay, so we'll see what happens then.
Yeah, I don't. I only have PWD, but that's basically it.
Hmm.
Okay.
For somebody who knows very little about this appealing process, what would be the average amount of time a person would have to wait to make the appeal and hear an answer back?
I don't know. All I know is that Dr. Bailey said to let the professionals do their work and not bug them.
That's not wrong. Yeah, that's a good advice.
Okay. So my CBT counselor is appealing, and
got it.
They're doing the process, and I'm not touching it. It's best to get the professionals talking.
So, yeah, we could. So I'm just wondering, have you been to any of the events associated with Autism Awareness Month?
No.
And why is it that you don't choose to attend?
I have been too busy with other stuff. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, cool.
I have a very busy life.
Yeah, true.
What about your family? Do you have family members here?
I just have my mother, and that's it.
Okay, and is she here in BC?
I just have my mother. We live together, and that is it.
That's awesome. And you're part of the Pacific Autism Family Network, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and how has the organization, like Pacific Autism Family Network, been for you? Like, are they helpful? Have they helped to with your activities? And can you give us a little rundown how they've been part of your life?
I go to the meetings whenever I can.
Mm-hmm.
But my activities I do are separate from them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the activities I'm part of are not associated with anything else.
Mm-hmm. Kevin has a question for you.
You know, you were showing us something interesting before we started the show. You pulled out a copy of a very, you know, well-read book, it looked like. And I wonder if you could talk a bit more about that. It seems like it was very special to you.
No, this is a missal. Everybody at my church, you need this in order to attend every Mass, because there are, like, so many Masses and so many classes of feasts. And there's, like, different versions. And so I have it all keyed to all the pages of the Mass. And depending on the week, there's, like, several classes of feasts. And this book has, like, the words to the songs. And it gives you all the stuff you're supposed to say in response, especially after the Asperger's May. And it gives you everything what you're supposed to say. And it shows, so I'm still trying to figure it out. But it's, like, it's very complex.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like it's a book that I've never actually seen myself, and I was raised Christian, but not this particular denomination.
It's Latin Catholic. It's traditional Catholic.
Mm-hmm. Have you been a part of this community for most of your life, or is this something that you're coming to recently?
Christmas Day of last year.
Christmas Day of last year. How is it? Has it impacted your life noticeably?
Yeah, I've met some really awesome people at that church, and it's like down the street from where I live, so I like it because it's traditional Latin Mass, and it's back to no nonsense, and I just find it very fascinating to just be there. And they have lots of rules and regulations of how to live your life, and that really appeals to me.
Okay, yeah. Well, just back to autism, I'm just wondering if you could see anything change in the city, what sort of thing would you like to see?
I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, okay. If there was something that you would like different in how people treated people with autism, what would that be?
Give us more work.
Yeah. So it's really hard to find work?
Employment, like, I'm only employed, like, 8 hours a week, and I would really like to get more hours where I work because I really like it there. I've been working there for 10 years as of yesterday.
Okay, yeah, that's a huge thing. Is there anyone does anyone know who is involved in getting rights for...
No,
I don't know either.
Yeah.
So just as a general question to anyone, has anyone in this room been to any of the autism awareness events? Have you been? You have been?
I helped with the autism awareness walk at the Pacific Autism Family Network that Sunday morning. So
cool.
Yeah, and Starbucks was there, handing out free coffee.
Nice. I'll go for the free coffee. Cool.
Like, the turnout really well?
Yeah, it was pretty good, even though it was raining.
Oh.
Okay, cool.
But it was a pretty good turnout, and lots of families, service providers, and people came and heard the music afterwards, all done by people with autism, which was nice.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
The one thing I find is that this the Pacific Family Autism Network, they put things on Sundays. The buses don't run there on Sundays.
Oh.
And then I went to one thing about a year ago. I was going to Remembrance Day. The bus doesn't run on Remembrance Day. They don't get that people who don't have a driver's license, and the only way to get there by bus is by bus, and that bus doesn't run on Sundays or holidays. So I am not going to keep telling them, I'm sorry, I don't go, and I'm at church like on Sundays. I don't go anywhere that's not accessible by bus, especially not on a Sunday. Sorry. It's just, if it's available, And they did something earlier this year on Easter Monday, which is a holiday. And they could have scheduled it on a different day this year. If I was in April of this year when it was Easter Monday. And that's also like when the buses don't run. And Easter is a holiday. So I take great issue with that as well.
Okay, that looks great.
That was amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. That's a really big thing, and I appreciate hearing that. I wouldn't have thought of it.
Yeah. So is there anything that you would like our listeners to know? The mic is all yours, so whatever you like to say to our listeners, feel free to express.
Make the buses run more frequently if you're going to make it to the Pacific Autism Family Network, especially, and make them run on Sundays or run something else, or run them on different day, or run events that are not on Sundays or weekends when the bus service is better.
Well, when I was at Pacific Autism Family Network some months ago, I heard some talk about them doing a shuttle bus if enough people are interested. And so I'm kind of surprised at the lack of progress that's come on that front, that it's just still that infrequent community shuttle that's really the way to access the Pacific Autism Family Network. So they have talked about putting their own shuttle there. They just haven't really gone about doing that. So maybe you can call on them the next time you are there to mention that and see how that's going or why that's not coming to fruition.
Well, when I go to the next meeting, I'll figure that out. I also don't go to a lot of events in the evening unless it's like close by public transit because the bus service is terrible. So that's the one thing I'd like the city to change as well, is accessibility. There's places there's many activities not autism related in general I don't go to because the bus service is non-existent.
Yeah, and that seems to be something a lot of people with various disabilities struggle with for sure. Thank you for talking to us, Tara. I really appreciate that. And what do you think, Kevin?
That was a really informative and truthful interview, so thank you for sharing so much with us.
No problem.
Okay, and that wraps up for our first show for today. If you are interested in joining our team or think there's an issue we should bring up on our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you to Tara for coming in and talking us for today. By the way, hi, Grandpa.
Okay, guaranteed my grandpa's not listening. But if you liked the show, like us on All Access Pass, and you can see some pretty cool pictures.
If you're on Twitter or Instagram or both, please follow us. Hashtag or the @ is @access_CITR.
And if you miss part of our live show today and want to listen again, or even maybe you want to listen to our past shows, you can check out our podcast shows on CITR.ca by going on the search box and searching All Access Pass.
And if you're looking for new content coming up, you can check out our next episode in 2 weeks on Wednesday at 2 p.m.
All right. Bye, everyone. You've been great.
And yeah, and special thanks to Alex for doing the boards. And we actually have Sarah's brother with us live on studio. So. Thank you for being here. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Happiness hit her like a train on a track, coming towards her.
Yeah.